Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I'm going to ask you about conspiracies later. I've got a whole thing. I've got a thing about vaccine hesitancy. I'm going to ask you shit. Don't worry, I'll tee you up.
Wait, oh my god! I think the edible's hitting. Give me a second. Holy shit! One second. Whew, and breathe. Can't even speak, bro. He said, don't take more than four. All right, one second.
Hello and welcome to Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? Yep, it's that science and tech podcast that you love because we haven't released an episode in a few months and absence makes the heart grow fonder. And for you physics nerds, as Isaac Newton's third law states, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And the equal and opposite reaction to not releasing a podcast for a while is to open up Adobe Audition, rub Tiger Balm directly on your gums, open up a microphone, and come back with even more energy. But I understand you've probably got that deep sense of conflict within you because you're kind of gassed that we're here, but you're wondering, is it really worth getting emotionally attached to us? Because, you know, they might dip out again for a while. If we could do it once, we might do it again, and you can't afford to get your heart broken like that in 2021. Now, I could sit here and say, all right, yeah, the last year has been kind of different, and, you know, really humanize myself, get you to empathize, but that's not how this power dynamic works. So let me ask you a question, yeah? Science podcast-wise, can you find anyone better, anyone that you've been waiting for more than us, all right? Because as soon as you saw that notification pop up with news that we've been out, like you came back real quick. Having blown out his microphone. I'm actually going to have to switch this one. Somehow I've blown out this microphone by channeling everyone's worst romantic relationship and breakup. And maybe weird attempt at a reconnect is Alex Lethbridge. And I'm, of course, joined today by Sahel Patel. Sahel, tell everyone what's been up in your life while I switch out this microphone.
Listen, man's a stockbroker now, Alex.
Yeah, what you got?
Man's wolf on Wall Street. Come on.
Yeah, what you got?
I'm about to make my millions, Alex, with this.
On what?
I got 50p worth of Doogie coins.
Dogecoin?
It's Doogie coins. Fine.
Doge coins.
Okay. Listen, I'm about to be rich, Alex. I anticipate my 50p of Doogie coins will make me a millionaire in the year 2357.
Okay.
And I will make precisely £1 million profit.
Well, we've seen that Tesla have invested, what, like $1.5 billion? Yeah, and they're saying that in the future, they'd be willing to take, I think they're going to take payment for their cars in Bitcoin, which is incredible. So, you know, it sent Bitcoin like skyrocketing. Like right now, it's at 34,000, which is great for me. Because, you know, I love Bitcoin. But also, actual topic of conversation today, Sahel, it is your feelings.
We're going to talk feelings. About sexy times, illicit sexy times, and we're going to talk about just coronavirus conspiracies, all the fun we've had with those.
I can tell, you know, you're in your home, I'm in my home, we're doing this over Zoom, but, like, you look like a man who, like, a strong wind would probably send you into deep existential crisis right now. Like, you look like you've got a lot on your mind. It looks like COVID, this whole lockdown thing, has affected you. What are you saying?
I was going to say good, but that too. I was going to say good, but no, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. And I think I'm not the only one, Alex.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good.
Most of us.
That's good.
Lockdown one was okay. Lockdown two.
bit weird. All right.
Get a bit rough. Water's getting a bit rocky now.
Well, it's good because people listening for the next three episodes, this one, the next one, I'm going to be chatting to, you know, your favorite co-hosts, all these other people. I'm going to be chatting to Sahel, I'm going to be chatting to Oz, I'm going to be chatting to Hannah. And you're going to find out how they've been handling coronavirus, how they've been handling the new science, how they've been handling the vaccine news, how they've been handling just living their day to day. So Sahel, you're here. Haven't seen you properly, like a proper sit down type thing since March, really.
Yeah.
Like we saw each other a couple of times, but like social distanced in a large open space. You know what I mean? So
yeah, you made me cookies that one time. That was nice.
Yeah, I had to fucking ferry to you and just be like, okay, I'm going to leave them over here, and then you can wipe them and bring them into your home.
Yes. Do you know those cookies? Yeah, those cookies. They were delicious, by the way. But I use them to chirp some girl down the road I like, and it worked extremely well, so I thank you. She's like, those cookies are amazing. I was like, I know, I'm a great man.
Oh my god,
I'm an artist.
I made those with love.
That's what I'm saying, like, that love
friendship is... You can't use me to like link someone.
Listen, you're all doing the Lord's work, Alex.
Mate, I can't whisk eggs, all right? I'm not folding flour whisking eggs for you to clap cheeks, my friend, all right?
Listen, it's been rough for us all, Alex, all right? We've got to do what we've got to do, mate. It's tough times. Yeah.
So what has your day-to-day been like? Like, tell me about what's Sahel's day-to-day?
My day has been fucked, man. It's
like, what time do you start?
Literally, I get gassed about the smallest things, Alex. It's like, I wake up at like maybe like, depends if I'm working. If I'm not working, maybe like, midday to 2 p.m. I think I've gotten, the latest I've woken up is maybe like 5 p.m. during lockdown. And it's like, and then, so during the day, a lot of time, I'm just fueling. I'm just like, I'm buying food. Yeah. I'm like rolling, I make myself a little morning rolly zoo. Mm. And then I do my physio. I have to do physio every day. But it's like, everything has become very like, every little thing has become bigger. It's like making, even cooking food has become like a elaborate thing that I do now. It's like, oh, you find a recipe, you watch like six videos on how to make that thing. Then you spend 5 hours making it. And it's like, holy shit. It's like, what the fuck? What was I doing before with all this time? It's like, I'll go to all three corner shops. I won't just go to one. I'll go to one. I'll buy a few things there. And then I'll go see Nick's Boss Man. Obviously, I always wear my mask and everything. I wash my hands and that. But like, it's like, obviously I just, it's that's the only place I can go. So it's in fact, man, it's in really fact. In that sense. I don't know. What have you been doing to kill time?
Not making podcasts.
Yeah, but you've been working. You started a new job in that, Alex.
Yeah, man. I've had work, this year, and it's made it a bit easier. You know, you might have heard your boy on the radio doing bits.
Yeah, you've been smashing it, man. Lockdown benefited you.
You know what I'm about. I'm all about, if you don't listen to Inside Science on BBC Radio 4, I mean, what are you doing with your life? I mean, only the ones where I am presenting, like the five where I'm presenting. Those other ones are boring, but you know. But
It's great to fall asleep to. That's what I would say.
Yeah, no, honestly, a lot of people, like someone actually wrote in, either sent an email or DM to this podcast being like, I love your podcast, but your voice also makes me fall asleep.
Stop that.
All right. So, you know, it's coronavirus, and this has been kind of wild for you, I know, because like you live in East London, but now you do not live in East London.
Man's down south. South.
Yeah, so what happened
the
there?
Beast. Man's like yeast making up bread.
Bars,
keep my man fed.
No, but seriously, why have you moved to South London?
Basically, I've been to the Eye of the Storm, Alex.
Yeah.
Belly of the Beast.
Oh yeah.
Fucking Rona. I went to Norfolk Park ICU and I did a documentary about the epicenter of corona outbreak. This is just after May, the last episode we released. And basically it was trippy as fuck, first of all, because I didn't sleep all night. And then, because I was nervous, also, I was on the internet, and you know how that is. So I didn't.
I just realized.
then I went to I went to Norfolk Park ICU, where they obviously, where the coronavirus first kind of started in London, in the UK. And we did a documentary about how they kind of coped with the first outbreak. And I'm thinking back to that moment now and how deep it was then. And everyone was like, yo, 300 people are dying, 500 people are dying, etc. And now it's like 1,000 people die every day from coronavirus. It's crazy. And everyone's just
wild.
Like, everyone's just telling, nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah, no, it's wild. It's something, because it's like, like, I'm thinking back, you know, we did that coronavirus episode January last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the facts we brought in, some of the figures, you know, the time are correct. And now looking back on it, I'm like, you know, this stuff we said is incorrect. It was correct at the time, but like this stuff is now incorrect. The numbers are now, you know, hugely incorrect. Like how we even viewed like 100, 200 deaths, you know, as being something huge. And now, you know, with the sheer number, it's sort of a bit mind-bending. Like, I go back and listen to that episode, I'm like, wow, everything's changed, like changed massively. And like, so you went to this hospital, what, you filmed something?
Yeah, I filmed coronavirus in the hospital, and I made this documentary. Now, please, everyone go to this thing and watch it on YouTube, not because I want the clout, because the comments are hilarious. I've been to the hospital. I've seen people on ventilators, Alex. They're fucking dying in front of me. People coming up in the comments being like, this is fake. This is staged. This is staged. You can't see their faces and shit. And like, you know me, I'm not like one to be like, nah, I'm up in there, Alex. I'm commenting. Yeah. I'm like, I made this film. Fuck you.
And yeah, you know, you're viewing this through the lens of like a journalist and that. And
yeah,
like, so what is that like? What is that, seeing that and like reporting on that and making films around that?
Like, I think you become like desensitized to it, like, in a way, because you're always like out there, innit? And like, you're seeing all these people dying and interviewing all these people about like death and all this shit, and it's kind of fucked up. But then again, like, it was fucked before as well, like, because I've worked on, you know, a lot of dark topics in the past. But I think the thing that has made it really hard is like moving to moving to a different part of the city, and, you know, being isolated is quite difficult. Like, so it has been tricky. But I guess being busy a lot helped. I think the first 6 months I was out on the road a lot filming. I was out every day in the office, that kind of stuff. So it felt kind of normal, even though like there's no one around. But saying that, the second 6 months I was working from home. And that was difficult, man. I really felt for people who've been working at home a lot, because then you really start to feel like, that's when you really feel isolated. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're like at home all day and you can't, like, you're just in your room. That could be quite difficult, man.
Do you personally, like, have there been any behaviors that you've changed? Because, you know, do you find yourself like staying at home? Yeah. Obviously we haven't stay at home, but do you find any behaviors changing? Are you like smoking more? Like, what, doing exercise?
Yeah.
What's
happening? I think come on, the everyone knows, first lockdown, everyone was on it. Man was boxing every day. He was fucking doing push-ups in his garden and that lasted maybe like 2 weeks, bruv. So everyone was gassed for lockdown, then reality started hitting in, isn't it? I think that's what happened. And then people were like, oh shit, this is gonna go for months. Like, fuck. And then after time kept going on, you're like, holy shit. Like, I haven't seen my friends in like 6 months. And then you're like, you know what I mean? And then now it's like to the point where it's like, I feel like I don't feel I can make it on the outside anymore.
But like, seriously, have you found, because I know you've been doing new hobbies, haven't you? You've been baking.
Yeah, I've been baking. I've been doing a lot of lockdown wanking / baking sometimes at the same time.
I mean, I hope not. You applied to Bake Off, didn't you?
I applied for Great British Bake Off. That was quite an experience, I got to say.
Are you going through? What's happening?
Well, I don't know what's happening yet, but this is going to find out this month, man.
So, oh, yeah. Okay,
fingers
cool.
crossed. But, I mean, okay. everyone did baking in it, like during lockdown. It's the most cliche thing.
No, but you've been
really. I feel
really
like a dickhead
You've been really. People who don't know, there are two things Sahel does. Yeah, If you get to Sahel, doesn't text during the day. If you get a text from Sahel, it's only between the hours of 1:30 and 4. And it's either, look at this new beat I made, or look at this thing I just baked. Yeah.
Am I that predictable, Alex?
Yeah, no, literally, you are just like Focaccia and FL Studio right now. That's all you are. That's all you do.
Listen, everyone has their vice, isn't it? Their lockdown vices, man. Listen, and I've been saying to people, look, my mate Bill, yeah, he's been like slowly going to sleep later. I think he goes to sleep at like 10 a.m. and wakes up at like 6 p.m. now. And I was like saying to him, I was like, listen, man, you're fucked, but at the end of the day, everyone's fucked. Like, everyone's routine is fucked. Everyone's like completely like a bit, not everyone, but like most of us normal people are struggling right now. And we are turning to our lockdown vices a bit more. But I don't know. It's tough, but it is really tough. But you try and make the most of it, innit, I guess, is what the thing is. And having all that time and being at home, maybe baking, is a fun thing you can do, to learn and to try. You already bake though, Alex, a lot, innit? So
yeah, I do, but I've actually stopped doing a lot of the things I like. Now, first and foremost, let's reel it back, because you're doing Mr. Like our respectable, like tell me about your lockdown vice.
Obviously, I'm getting stoned. Like, who hasn't been getting stoned? And I think baking, getting baked, then baking is an excellent combination, Alex.
You found that. that's something you personally found anecdotally. This isn't a science. Honestly, how much do you think you're getting through? Do you think you're getting through more weed now, less? Like,
holy shit, I've been spending more money on weed. Come on, man. Who the fuck has it? I'm at home all day, man. It's like, what are you going to do? Like,
look, how much more are we talking here?
No, I'd say it's about 40% more, I'd say. I think definitely having the extra things to do. Like, everyone's found a thing in it, like, to do, or like, you know, if you've not been, especially when times haven't been working, it's like having shit to do has helped a lot.
You know, how's work been? Has it affected you? I know a lot of people have their careers have been kind of fucked by coronavirus a bit. Like, how's it affected you, man?
Yeah, same here, man. It's like, you know, I'm one of the ones that have fallen through the cracks, man. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of freelancers who, are struggling right now, because I lost my job twice, innit, basically, during the whole outbreak. And even though I didn't technically lose my job, I mean, I lost a big client who were my main, providers, basically. So it's been difficult, man, to cope with that. And there's been the period like where I've lost work, where I've not been working. So I guess I'm lucky in the sense that I had some work like over the outbreak. But, like, you know, it's a tough time for a lot of people, man. A lot of people not got money. So that's why I think they've turned more to, like, using and, like, you know what I mean? Or, like, whatever is their vice in it, hookups or, you know, that kind of thing. Wanking. A lot of people have been wanking. Alex, I've basically finished porn. There's nothing left. I've exhausted all my known previous fetishes. And I have
a... No, so you had a... Have you had a lockdown relationship? What have you been doing?
Yeah, I had a little lockdown booty call, hashtag romancer. You know what I'm saying? Listen, everyone's bored. They're sitting at home. They're only fucking dating apps, swiping, wanking, as I previously mentioned. So it's only inevitable, isn't it, that that you're going to orchestrate some type of illegal...
Is that what you call it? Orchestration? You're not fucking Emperor Palpatine.
Listen, don't judge me, okay?
No, I'm not judging. I'm just, what I want to know is, the mindset of it. Because, when do you get into that relationship, that first relationship, that first lockdown relationship?
Oh, let's not go too much into this.
I'm not going to go too deep into that one.
The wounds are still fresh, Alex.
The wounds are still fresh. Okay, cool. Have you seen anyone?
Hello, is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. Yeah, God.
Have you seen anyone since then? Since, late 2020?
It depends if the police are watching and listening to this.
No, but you can be...
If there are any police listening, or anyone authority, please stop listening immediately. Like, I might have had a couple things going, but, listen, man's got to do his thing, Alex.
Yeah. Okay, but no, but have you been doing... But no, realistically, have you been doing your thing in a safe and appropriate way? Like, how
absolutely.
Can you?
Absolutely. I do it from 6 meter distance at all times. I use large copper tubing. levers.
But realistically, yeah. And I mean this with no judgment or anything. Like, have you been?
No, you are. You're judging me, Alex.
I'm completely not because I
genuinely. You're judging me. Oh, you're getting off of this. Where's your hands? Let me see your hands. Let me see them. Okay. I tell you what, let me be completely honest. All right, let's say I'm going to be completely honest. People are still hooking up during lockdown, but they're doing it in a way where they have to have more trust in that person. Do you know what I mean? So it takes a longer time like to get there. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a lot more conversation that happens.
So how are people doing this? Like, what is the mindset of people?
I guess the thing is like human beings, you need intimacy. And it's like not being able to hug someone or like even be like, you know what I mean? Especially if you're single, you know, and you're living out, like not with your parents and your family. So you really miss that intimacy. So you do need that for your mental health and well-being. And you know.
Bro, let me ask you directly, why are you doing this stuff? You're on this podcast every, like I say every week, but like every episode, yeah, where we're talking about science and you're there like, yeah, I love science and I love this. I love learning about this stuff. Then people out here, probably medical experts are out here being like, okay, look, to make this better, you really have to make sure that you stay within these bubbles. And you're here like, ah, oh, you know what? Let me pull all these people together. Let me start smashing here. Okay, a couple of months. Let me start doing this here. Let me start moving here. Let me start like, make it make sense, hell. But like realistically, make it make sense.
No. You're right. There is a cognitive distance there. Absolutely. And I don't know. Like, I think in the context of it, it is emotionally difficult to find someone who's going through the same thing and to like share it with them is very like reassuring. So I don't know. Like, you have to gauge risks, isn't it, in these situations? And you're like, all right, if I hang out with this one person and I don't see anyone else, then I guess that to me, that justifies it. But then, you know, you could easily flip it and say, oh, you know, you're seeing that one person and that person might see another two people, three people, and then the R number goes up. You know, there's that whole thing, isn't it? But it's like, I don't know, man, it's hard, isn't it? It's in a year. It's like you spend 6 or 7 months trying to follow the rules and then inevitably, you know, one crack and then once, you know what I mean? And then before you know
it.
Yeah,
like what, lockdown fatigue?
Lockdown like fatigue. That's a thing. I think that's a thing.
No, it's a thing. It's a thing. That's the terminology. It's a lockdown fatigue. But like, do you find it like? Is there like a split in your head? Are you like, okay, yeah, logically or whatever? I know I should not be doing this, and the other part of you is like, okay, you need to do this, otherwise you're gonna go like, you can't handle this anymore.
Yeah, I think there is a. I think there's a thing about that, and I think there definitely needs to be. Like more ways to work that into the current system that you have where you're like, oh, you do need a bit of human contact, like as a human being. And, you know, you do have like bubbles and things like that, but it's like, how do you make that work exactly? I don't even know what the rules are around that 100%. No. So,
I mean, it was quite interesting because early on, the UK at least, one of the public health rules that came out at one point essentially said, you know, like, you have to, if you do have sex with someone, you basically do it from behind, no kissing and all that kind of stuff, you know, make sure you basically trying to stop the spread of, you know.
Oh yeah. I remember
that way. Yeah. Imagine that you, like you got a master's in public health, like you just graduated, like boom, you want to work and you get pushed into a large public health organization, you know, you get pushed into the largeness of government and they're like, okay, you've got this background in public health. You want to learn and help. Oh, okay. The first thing I need you to do is turn no lipsing, just back shots into public health strategy. Go, right? Make that public health messaging. You got to tell people this is how you got a link, nothing else. All right. I mean, aside from that, you know, one reason that you're feeling probably feeling a little bit more isolated is last year, I think during lockdown one, you moved, didn't you?
Yeah, I moved places, man.
I moved
to the southeast.
Yeah, because you're from east, but now you're living in southeast. I mean, how's southeast London treating you?
Southeast London is a bougie place. You'd be surprised.
No, you want to say that, but anytime I've tried to see you for a socially distant thing, do you know how difficult it is to go from South London, proper South London, where there are tubes and stuff, into southeast?
Is that hard? Right?
It's very hard. I had to drive to see you. All right. I had to drive to be distant from you, to be socially distant from you. I'm not driving in Southeast London, yeah, for anything other than a hug. So this is terrible.
This is just pretty sad.
This is absolutely sad.
It's
right?
Pretty sad. It's
but
sad.
Like, you know, how have you found that? And why did you move?
I think I moved because, you know, a lot of us, like, you know, live with our parents still, right? Being brown people, etc. So obviously when Corona hit, you know, I decided to move because, you know, my parents are a little bit older and we didn't know what was going on then. You know, there's a lot of like uncertainty around who's vulnerable. Do you know what I mean? And like, and like how, you know, what the spread is and what the symptoms are and all this kind of stuff. So I was like, look, it makes sense to move out for a little few months and see what, like, well, till it all dies down. Because everyone was like, it'll be a few weeks. Yeah, yeah, a few weeks.
Because like you were texting me in what, in like, was it maybe June, being like, oh yeah, can you help me move all my stuff from east to southeast? But like, I'm going to drive to Ilford.
You like, nah, you shut it down quick. You like, nah.
Nah.
I was like, listen, man's going to try still, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm like, you want me to drive from south? Can you give you want me to drive from south to east to southeast and then home?
Listen, it's nice to know your friends are always there for you.
Yeah, man, I would.
Listen, you made up for it. You made up for it with the cookies, though. So it's all
good. Yeah. No, okay, but all right. So you know, you've moved. I mean, how was that for you? How do you feel like you're doing it out of sense of like this is the right thing to do, or like did you feel a bit annoyed you have to do it? Like, what was that?
I felt like the prospect of being in my house, my family house, with my siblings for the next, like, however weeks and months is going to be, I was like, nah. I think for the safety of everyone, it's best I left.
Yeah.
Well, that was part of it, but also because of my parents as well. And you know, like I say, it was just, I was going into work a lot, Alex, you understand? I was like going to the office. Yeah. I was not only going to office, I was going to like hospitals. I did the documentary about undertakers. So it's like all dead people and stuff, and it's mad, it's crazy shit. So, like, so I was like, oh man, if I get Corona and give it to my parents, and like, you know, God forbid, let one of them die, like, do you really want that hanging on your head? I was like, nah, I'll move out, man. So I moved out. That's why I moved out. So, and also, it's a weird, ironic, like, thing, like, paradoxical thing, because I left because I love my family. But also because I hate them as well. I was like, yo, man needs to get the fuck out of here so you don't die, but also so I don't kill anyone.
I mean, two contexts.
Yeah,
I mean, how's it been since then? Have you been keeping in touch with them? Like, or has it been like, okay, cool.
Yeah, ring them up, went back for Christmas, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember mom every day. I send that. This is one of the things inside baking. It's like you can just, it's easy thing to talk about. It's a neutral thing in food.
This
like
is true.
Send your mom a picture of a croissant. She just, you know what I mean? It's just like, so I say to keep in touch with your fams, isn't it?
Like, how did you feel about that going back for Christmas?
No, it was all right. I mean, to be honest, I'd been back maybe like a couple of times before. And in that context of going back, I isolated for like a week before. And I think a lot of people have done this. Like, I've noticed some people have done this. So I think, you know, I've been back a couple times before, but Christmas was different because it was like everyone was going home and there's all this uncertainty around like what's happening and the new variant and all this shit. And for Christmas, I actually stayed in a different house. I didn't stay in my parents' house. I stayed in an empty flat. So that was the way I did it. But it was,
I mean, it must feel weird.
Life is weird in general though, man.
You know, you have got now in 2021, I mean, you know, big talk on vaccines, all the news of all the different vaccines being developed. Like, have you been keeping abreast? Have people around you been?
I think you know, we've had this conversation about COVID deniers, and obviously I am bare into science, as you know, and I read all about the new vaccines and the new, like, how it works and like which ones are the best and like, the new efficacy and all this shit, you know what I mean, everyone's talking about it, but like I don't think a lot of people are tuned in to like the science or like about vaccines, because, you know, I'll be chatting to some of my mates, he's a fucking computer scientist, but man, colds, you know what I mean, he's telling me about how vaccines are gonna have microchips in them. Like, and I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? How the fuck is a vaccine? You can have a micro. Where the fuck is that microchip? Is that what you mean? And it's just hilarious that intelligent people, Alex, are having these ideas. Is that what you mean? I don't know. Like you're going to say something.
No, I think what I've come to realize, and I knew it before, there are multiple different strands of people who are, I say, hesitant to the vaccine. And I think people before, or even now, people still think of, oh, this person doesn't believe in vaccines. They're uneducated or stupid. But I think it's like people aren't being told specifically in the language that they understand. Not, oh, we've got to make it simple, but like in a format that speaks to their lived experiences and through a messenger that they trust and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Mm. Are people around you, have any family members, any friends, like, expressed any, I want to say, like, honestly, skepticism to COVID or the vaccines or anything that's happened in the last year?
Yeah, you know what, like, a lot of people, man, like, you know, I'll be chatting, I'll be on Discord just chatting to people, and it'll be like 3 a.m. and I'll be sitting in my room, and they'll be like, we'll be debating vaccines. Now my walls are quite quiet, so I'll be like, my two housemates are sleeping next to me. So have you ever tried to, like, angry whisper, Alex? I know you love angry whispering. That's totally your thing. You say, and another thing about the vaccine is, did you read this article on this website? And you say,
well, that's what you've been doing. You've been angry, like, whispering.
Angry whispering at 2 a.m. about vaccines to my boys. But the good thing is I managed to convince a few of them to, like, take the vaccine. So
that's good.
So, yeah, so I think it's just like having conversations, showing people the evidence, you know. The problem is when you don't show people all the evidence, and little things become an issue. Like, for example, there was this thing in Australia, they had a vaccine they were doing, but then there was one thing that it shows like a false positive for HIV, right, or something. And they shut it down, and I think that was the right thing to do. But already that kind of conspiracy has pervaded the, you know, consciousness of conspiracy theorists online. Nowadays, there's a belief that, oh, coronavirus can give, the vaccine can give you HIV. And it's a bit like, what? Yeah, it's wild how it just flips from one thing to the other, Alex. I don't know, like, how, what's pushing these and what's making all these conspiracies thrive. It's just weird, man.
Wild. Yeah. Okay. What about your parents? Are your parents receiving any weird WhatsApp and shit?
My parents have been good. They don't know what's going on a lot of the time anyway, so I tend to have to explain shit to them anyway. So, yeah, they've been all right. I think it's more my mates and stuff, actually. It's just weird. Like, even one girl I was talking to, like, I found her on Facebook or whatever, and it's just like, you know, you do a quick Google search of someone, isn't it? And I started looking at all the posts, and she's posting loads of stuff about conspiracies, corona conspiracies and shit. It's hilarious. And, like, it's just, I don't know, what do you do? It's like such a social faux pas, isn't it? And you know what? I'll still chat to you because I'm not a dickhead. And I want to see, and I want to understand. I like chatting to corona conspiracy people because I want to understand, like, why they believe what they believe. Do you know what I mean? And get into it. And as I still chat to her, she ended up ghosting me, bro. I was going to ghost you, man. Nah, I don't ghost. I don't ghost.
How do you think life for you is going to be going forward? Like, what have you learned from this year overall? And how do you see things going forward? Are you optimistic? What are you saying?
I think the thing that I realized is that I'm way more resilient than I thought. And I think that the thing that really helped was that we were all struggling. We were all in this together. Even though we were apart, everyone was sharing memes. You know what I mean? Everyone was talking about how they feel it down and things. And there was a sense of camaraderie there in that way. But it has been hard. But I think, you know, people have also shown good sides to themselves. And hopefully going forward, you know, we'll all learn from that. And you know, society will benefit from that experience.
Are you going to change your behavior, Suhail? Right,
No. Listen,
Shut up. Are you going to become a good, pious Muslim man?
I think I will try and continue to meet someone, but it'll definitely be in a sensible way.
Socially distanced,
absolutely. And you know, if it's someone that I do want to be in a serious relationship with, then I will consider bubbling with them. That's, like, you know, something I will do. But, you know, I think we're coming to the end of it soon, hopefully within the next 6 months or whatever. So, you know, hopefully these are things we won't have to worry about as much going forward.
So we've come to the end of the episode. Now, this would be the part where I say, you know, do we feel like we've learned something today? But what I'm going to ask is, do you feel like you've shared something today? There will, of course, be no answer because Sahel has nodded off in his chair. So I guess all that's really there for me to say is bye for now, and we'll see you next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.